Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, June 30th, 2016. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Airport runway work to start July 12th. Judges order Washington Initiative campaigner Tim Iman to turn over documents to Attorney General's office, and new laws to go into effect in Idaho tomorrow. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Several new Idaho laws go into effect tomorrow, including a law allowing most Idahoans 21 and over to carry concealed weapons without a permit almost anywhere in the state. Last year, the legislature did away with the concealed weapons requirements outside city limits. This year, the legislature added cities to the areas where people could carry concealed weapons without a permit. Democrats criticized the new law, which also does away with the mandatory training that comes with concealed weapons permits. A new statewide system for collecting DNA evidence in rape kits will go into effect tomorrow. The system includes a time limit before law enforcement sends rape kits to a state police forensic lab for testing, unless the victim requests they don't send it. The law is supposed to standardize how evidence is treated and end the practice by some law enforcement agencies of not sending rape kits for testing or delaying the sending of them. Idaho will also begin implementing a $5.5 million program to improve and standardize how public defenders work in the state. The Public Defense Commission will be created and will in turn create a grant application process for counties to help pay for public defenders. Until now, public defense systems were the sole responsibility of counties in Idaho. An ACLU lawsuit said Idaho's underfunded public defender system was likely unconstitutional. Also going into effect tomorrow is a new law allowing people under 21 to be shielded from minor in possession laws if they seek medical treatment for themselves or for fellow underage partiers that are in medical distress. Lawmakers also removed a law that forbade theaters from serving alcohol while showing movies that include nudity. A grizzly bear has killed a National Forest police officer 3 miles outside Glacier National Park's west entrance. Flathead National Forest officer Brad Treat was riding a mountain bike with another person when he was attacked. Most of the 6 grizzly mauling deaths in the Northern Rockies since 2010 have been in the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem. It was the first grizzly mauling death of a human in the Glacier area since 1998. Phase 1 of construction of the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport Runway Realignment Project will begin Tuesday, July 12th. Mead and Hunt Construction Company project manager Scott Carey told the airport board yesterday crews will begin moving soil at the west end of the airport behind the Avista Utilities building on the Moscow-Pullman Highway. Crews have been bringing heavy equipment to the site for the past several weeks, and more heavy machinery is expected to arrive soon. Carey said Phase 1 will include work to enclose 3,100 feet of Airport Creek and move about 2.4 million yards of dirt. The estimated total cost of the entire runway realignment project is between $89 and $119 million. Airport manager Tony Bean said the U.S. Congress has authorized the project, but Congress has not yet appropriated money for the Federal Aviation Administration's share of the costs. Bean said the airport board is still considering whether to invoke eminent domain, but negotiations with nearby landowners continue. Bean said some settlements have taken place, but the most crucial and expensive part of the negotiations continues to be with Washington State University, which owns land and buildings at their animal research facility near the west end of the planned runway. Bean said offers have been sent to all landowners. He said eminent domain must be initiated by the Pullman City Council, but it's too early to say if they will do so or not. Snohomish County Superior Court Judge Ellen Fair has ordered Washington State Initiative sponsor Tim Iman to turn over documents in a continuing investigation of his campaign finance practices. According to the Associated Press, Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson filed petitions in Snohomish and Thurston County Superior Courts asking for subpoenas seeking any and all documents pertaining to Iman, his political committees, and the for-profit signature-gathering firm Citizen Solutions. In a statement, Ferguson said, "No one is above the law. My office will conduct a full investigation of this matter, and I will not allow Tim Iman to impede it." Ferguson also ordered Iman to pay attorney's fees and associated costs of enforcing the subpoenas. Ferguson alleges Iman used $170,000 in political contributions for living expenses, failed to accurately report contributions, and that he transferred money from one of his political committees to Citizen Solutions. Iman attorney Mark Lamb said the judge's order will allow Iman to get Ferguson the required information. Lamb said Iman had offered the data to Ferguson for 6 months as long as the personal data included in the documents remains private. A new Justice Department Bureau of Justice Statistics report released Tuesday shows continuing sexual abuse in juvenile detention centers across the country and in Idaho, with frequent occurrences due to continued understaffing and gang violence. Currently, the Idaho Department of Juvenile Corrections is facing several lawsuits over the sexual abuse prisoners say came from jail staffers while they were in detention. According to the Associated Press, the report looked at the impact juvenile facilities have on sex abuse rates and victim risk factors. It's intended to measure in part the effectiveness of federal rules set up to find out if the rules actually help prevent inmate sex abuse while in jail. Jails and prisons nationwide have been operating under the 2003 Prison Rape Elimination Act, which is designed to stop prison rapes. Idaho initially refused to obey the act's standards, despite the requirement that all states must be in compliance by 2014. Last year, Idaho reversed its stance and announced three facilities had already passed compliance audits with Prison Rape Elimination Act standards. The report concludes lower rates of sexual abuse of inmates were reported in facilities with higher staffing levels, less violence, and fewer complaints. Also, the study found youth who were previously abused, kids who identified themselves as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, and black youth were all more likely to be victims of staff members. The highest rates of abuse were in the youth-on-youth sexual abuse category and in the male and female-only facilities. Prisoner advocacy group Just Detention International Executive Director Lovisa Stanow said she's encouraged and frustrated by the study's findings. Stanow said they are encouraging because they confirm that sexual abuse is a problem that strong youth detention leaders can solve if they want to, and exasperating because so many leaders continue to insist, against all evidence, that sexual violence is outside of their control. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Looks like clear skies tonight and tomorrow, with a low of 52 tonight and a high of 85 tomorrow. It'll be partly cloudy Friday night through Saturday night, with a low of 55 Friday and Saturday and a high of 83 on Saturday. Sunny, high 82 on Sunday. In fact, mostly clear conditions Sunday through the middle of next week. High 82 Sunday and 77 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, lows around 50. Currently, fair skies, 84 degrees at the Pullman-Mosca Regional Airport. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Rocha sits with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Coming up next, we have Talk Nation Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. Music begins at 7:30 with World Waves, World Music with Catherine Bonzo. And at 9 o'clock, we'll have Ted and Andrea in for Confinement Loaf, heavy music, and The Deep Sleep is live on the air in midnight to 3. Have a good night. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are available for download or streaming on the KRFP website shortly after broadcast. This is KRFP, Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.